mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this reading is from our first lesson from Psalm 102. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those doomed to die. You may be seated. Well, again, a good evening and a happy Independence Day weekend to you. There's a movie that some of you might have seen, and I'm not talking about the movie Independence Day, as fitting as that would be, that came out not too long ago called The Avengers. And in this movie, there's a bad guy, the villain, named Loki, and who wants, believe it or not, power. Specifically, though, he wants to rule all of mankind, every single person in humanity. He wants them to bend knee to him. So he stands in front of a crowd of people and demands that they kneel to him. And eventually, some slightly by force, they do. And once they finally do, he gives a rousing speech against freedom. He says, "Is this not simpler? Is this not your natural state? It's the unspoken truth of humanity that you crave subjugation. The bright lure of freedom diminishes your life's joy in a mad scramble for power, for identity. You were made to be ruled. In the end, you will always kneel." That sounds an awful lot like the exact opposite of the stuff that we're celebrating this weekend. The day that the United States of America officially declared themselves to be a nation independent of British control. It's the day we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, when our founding fathers declared that they would no longer bend knee to a king halfway across the world, or be subject to the laws of a ruler outside of themselves. It's not typically a time when we talk about kneeling down to something larger than us. But our villain says, in the end, we will always kneel. Now, it certainly sounds harsh, and you can tell it's obviously designed to make us not like the guy, because as citizens of the United States of America, we are free. And we very much pride ourselves on that freedom. We love our freedom, and we've defended and fought for our right to freedom since the day that we got it, and even before then. That's why we spend a whole weekend, or at least a day, celebrating it every year. And I certainly hope and think you'll all agree with me that we have all sorts of wonderful reasons to celebrate our freedom in this country. It is, as sometimes it might not seem, but it really is a great blessing to live in these United States, where we don't have to fear a dictator, a vengeful king, or some sort of ruler that would tell us exactly how we need to spend every aspect of our lives. In these United States, we are free. So what do we do with it? How do we spend our freedom? As American citizens, we're free to live and act how we want, to do what we want, really whenever we want to do it, as long as it's within the bounds of the law. So really, if you think about it, don't we still kneel to something bigger than us? No matter what some people may think sometimes, we're not bigger than the law. But we certainly are free to live our lives under it. The Bible, too, tells us that we were once under the law, not just the law of the land, but God's law, such as the Ten Commandments. But in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created mankind, when he started with Adam and Eve, God created them as free individuals. They were free to make whatever choices they wanted, to do whatever they wanted, except for one very specific but fairly small thing. They were not to eat of the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not entirely sure how this will come across, so don't tune out quite yet. But frankly, I believe that the villain in that story was right to a point. In the end, we will always kneel to something. No matter how free we think we are, there is always something that we will choose willingly to kneel to. And one day in that garden, Adam and Eve made their choice. They didn't kneel to the tree, not to the fruit on the tree, not even to the serpent. No, they knelt to themselves. And because of their kneeling, their desire for knowledge, their desire to be like God, they, and as a result, us, became a slave to sin, a slave to sinful desires, and ultimately a slave to self. See, God left us free to make our decisions because God really does value freedom. He doesn't want to be that dictator and force us to live our lives as pawns on his divine chessboard because he loves us. Now, don't get me wrong. God certainly has the power to make us do whatever he wants us to. He could very easily make us kneel to him and always live as he wants us to. It's not that it's not in his power to do these things, but rather he chooses not to because of his love for us. He wants us to have our own free will. But so often, because of our freedom to choose, because of our sin, so often we kneel to ourselves, our sinful desires, our money, our stuff, our jobs, and so many other things. We worship and we bow down to things that really shouldn't be worshipped. And in doing so, we'd make ourselves to be slaves to that thing. But God also gave us a way out of that imprisonment, to follow his law and to keep it perfectly. Every letter, every dot. Now, if we could keep every possible aspect of God's law perfectly, then certainly we wouldn't have any sort of problems. But you and I both know that's very impossible. We are slaves to our own sinful nature. We kneel to our selfish desires. And as Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. We have made our choices. We've knelt to the gods that we choose to. And because of it, we have been condemned, sentenced to death. But let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die. God on high knew our condition. He knew that we couldn't keep his law. He knew that we were doomed to die as a result. But he didn't ignore or abandon us. He heard the groans of those who were shackled in the chains of sin and self, and he sent his son to us. Jesus became one of us. He lived like us, fulfilled the law for us, died and suffered the consequences of our sin for us, and rose again like only he could in order to defeat sin and death, and to break the chains of sin and self, and to set us free. Galatians 4 tells us, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We put ourselves in the chains of sin, trapped ourselves in a prison that on our own power, we couldn't get out. But Jesus has set us free. And we are no longer slaves, but instead we are sons and daughters to God's kingdom. Our punishment for sin is no longer death, but rather our reward for Christ's work is life eternally, free from all chain. Jesus set us free, and Jesus himself said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So I certainly think it's safe to say that we are indeed free. We are no longer slaves to sin. So now what? With this newfound freedom, what do we do with it? There's many stories of slaves that heard that they were freed after the Emancipation Proclamation. But when they were told they were free, they didn't really know what to do with themselves. And I'd like to share with you a story from a former slave named William Hudson. He was interviewed in 1937, and this is his account of the day that he was told that he was free. He says, "The day of freedom came around just like any other day, except the master told me to bring up the horses because they were going into town. And as they were in town, that's when he heard about the slaves being freed. We get into town and the master went into the store. It's pretty early, but the streets were filled with folks talking. And I wondered what made him in such a hurry when he came out of the store. He jumped onto his horse and told me to follow fast. When we got back to the plantation, he sounded the horn that called all of his slaves. They came in from the fields and met around the back of the kitchen building that stood separate from the master's house. They all kept quiet while the master spoke. All of you are free now, and all of the rest of the slaves are too. Nobody owns you now, and nobody is going to beat you anymore." That was good news, I reckon. But nobody knew what to do about it. Our freedom is good news. But do we know what to do about it? See, in the end, we will always kneel, so what really can our response be other than kneeling? No longer kneeling to our sinful nature, to ourselves, but kneeling to the one who created us, who looked down and saw us in our condition, who heard our groans, who loved us and set us free. And the Apostle Paul tells us that in the end, we will always kneel. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We kneel now to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We are free as the people of God to worship the three in one, to act the way we want, but as Christians, as one set free by Christ, since our sinful desires are no longer our masters, we are free to serve God and act in the ways that He calls us to. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Our second lesson for this evening, 1 Peter 2:16, also instructs us on how to use our freedom. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And so in these United States of America, as free people on this Independence Day weekend, as we celebrate the freedom we have been given both in Christ and in this nation, think of that freedom and ask yourself, what am I doing with it? I have been set free, so now what? We have been called as God's people out of the chains of sin and made free to serve God and to serve others. In the end, we kneel to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit out of gratitude for His great love for us, because we are free to live for Him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the one who has set us free. Amen.